can get consults for me or your family by contacting me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. My toll-free number is 888-321-6751, on which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. If you get a strange message that my number has been disconnected or whatever, have the operator dial it for you. My Skype username is drcarly1, but I use Skype primarily for international clients and radio shows. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 208-935-0094 or toll-free at 888-747-1968. However, we do ask that listeners not use the toll-free number to listen to the show. Archives of my shows on various networks for the past few weeks can be accessed at www.thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. One of the most important things you can do to protect yourselves and your loved ones from the organisms being created by the mad scientists at the over 1,300 biowarfare labs in the U.S. alone is purchase a colloidal silver generator. If you go to the link section of reverse vaccine, are coughing and sneezing and spreading all of these biowarfare germs on you. On today's show, the answer to the question, what's ailing America, is hate crimes. And this is going to be a very important show. I'm going to have as my guest Maggie Rodden. Maggie Rodden and I simultaneously resigned from OrionTalkRadio.com this past Monday. And actually, Maggie, I'd like to bring you on to begin with. Please tell the listeners the story, which actually is kind of amazing. And let me just say, listeners can go to Maggie's website, The Unsolicited Opinion, and listen to that show because, of course, it was took down from Orion immediately. But I'll let you tell the story of how I subbed for you on Friday and ended up with dead air and how this whole thing has transpired, because this has gone viral, as I know that you know.
Hi, Dr. Carly. How you doing? I just listened to you on the other show that you were asked to be a guest on, and you did a great job, by the way. And I want to say hello to the owner of the Micro Effect, because he had called me the other day to ask me to join his network. But right now, I'm just going to bake cookies for the next few weeks and forget about reality for a while after this show with you today, Dr. Carly. But, you know, it's a funny thing, because you mentioned today's show is all about hate speech, and you and I both believe in free speech, and free speech is not hate speech. Now, some people might not like what we are saying or people say, but they have every right to say it, regardless of who feigns offense at what it is that they are hearing. And you and I both know that these are word weapons that are used to silence opposition to what it is they are doing. It is as simple as that. They use these different words: hater, racist, bigot, anti-Semite, homophobe, xenophobe, white supremacist, and Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews, to shut up anybody who is in opposition to what these people are doing. It's as simple as that. And so, you know, it's funny. I had taken all last week off. I had taken it off from Orion, and you were to be my host on Friday. And Sean had filled in for me a couple days, and then another one of the Orion hosts had filled in for me. And I was told by Jim Berryman, the owner of Orion on Wednesday, he said, well, you're filling back out. And I thought, well, geez, the only person I could think of that would be you, Dr. Carly, because, you know, Sean had been doing the shows that I had asked him to fill in for me. So on Friday, Sean and I planned to do the show, and then I couldn't get connected because you had already connected into their system, and it would just have thrown you out. And I saw, well, you were doing the show, and I thought, well, that's fine, perfect. She's going to do it, and that's okay with me, what I had planned originally. So,
okay, wait, let me interrupt you to say, and why would I have not done the show without telling you I was going to not do the show? You see, that's when the obvious conspiracy starts. because he was trying to make you believe that I had refused to come on, and I always keep my word. If something did come up, and it would have to be a true emergency for me to back down at the last minute, I, of course, would have contacted you. Go ahead.
Well, that would have made sense to me, too, and I thought, well, okay, maybe, you know, he knows something. I don't know. I didn't know. And so when I went to sign on and you were doing the show, Sean and I were both ready to do the show, so we thought, well, let's listen to what Dr. Carly is saying. So we were intently listening because you were doing a great job, and all of a sudden, start of the second hour, dead air. Now, I know from having been on Orion for about doing a Sunday show, I don't know, a year and a half, maybe almost 2 years, I guess something like that, and then having done the full-time through RBN for over a year, and then I went to Orion full-time during the week, I know that there's a lot of fellow co-hosts on Orion who they don't work, so they sit there and they listen to the shows, and if you have dead air, they'll be the first ones to let you know you got dead air, hey, you maybe forgot to unmute your mic or something like that. So I had sent you a little message and you didn't respond back, but I know you get a ton of messages while you're on air, and I thought, geez, you know, dead air, I mean silent dead air for an hour. And so I had emailed Jimmy Berryman, the owner of Orion, who happens to be an engineer for a radio station, so he knows all about this stuff. I said, you've had dead air for an hour. Oh, well, everything was fine on our end, and I'm thinking to myself, no, it wasn't. You know damn well you had dead air. In fact, all these people who don't work and are some of the hosts on Orion listen in, and if you had dead air, they would have notified you. So I know there were people listening to that show who could have alerted you, Dr. Carly, that you had dead air, and Jimmy could have done that, but he chose not to. They knew you had dead air, Dr. Carly, and they wanted it that way because you were being a little too what they would deem to be controversial with the fact that you happened to be telling the truth. And, of course, what is it Orwell said? In times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act, and you are revolting, and I am revolting, against this handful of people who seek to enslave the whole world.
Well, I got to say two things. First of all, that Orwell quote is a bumper sticker I have on my car. My tag is no two backs, no two vaccines, and then I have a couple of bumper stickers about inoculations being the true weapons of mass destruction as well. But of course, I've been doing internet radio for many, many years, and I certainly know if I've muted my mic, okay? And everything was fine on my end. And so that's why I knew when I emailed Jim Berryman and I said, what's up with a 1 hour of dead air, a total wastage of my time. I mean, I'm sitting here, you know, we don't get paid anything. I want to make that clear to all the listeners. The hosts on internet radio get nothing for all of our hours of being on the air, for all of our research, etc. We get nothing. So why am I going to sit here for an hour and talk to myself and have dead air? And he pretended that he didn't know what happened. Everything was fine in his end. So that's when I knew that we had a problem, and that's when you and I started talking, and we found out. Actually, I think Deanna Spingola was one of the first persons. She's on RBN. She talks a lot about the problem, i.e. the Jews, and about the hollow hoax, etc. And she actually had posted in her chat room about this message that Orion had put on their homepage about how Orion is saying no to hate speech, which, interestingly, they never sent to you, me, or Sean from Australia, the three main hosts who are apparently guilty of hate speech, which means telling the truth about the Jews. We had never heard this from the station. We found out from Deanna, and that's when I started wondering, well, and apparently from I'm talking to other people, apparently Jim Berryman is Jewish as well. Isn't it funny how that works out? But maybe they were setting us up to turn us over to the ADL or whatever. I don't know. But I don't say anything I can't document, so bring it on. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Dr. Carly, that note that went up there, I didn't even know about it at all. I didn't know about it until Friday about 10 to 5 when I was going to go on the air because I didn't know you were still planning on doing my show. And I went to Orion's website because I never look at their website. Why? What would I look at it for? But I went this time because I was going to record the show, and that's when I saw it up there, and I pointed it out to Sean, and it was a mind blower. It's like, wait a second. Now, Jimmy Berryman, also known as Jimmy X, was on Oracle for a couple of years. He and Sean did a show together, and they were always talking about all kinds of what would be deemed these controversial issues. They talked about affirmative action and all of the different issues related to that, the fact that that's not equal justice, that puts some groups ahead of others. They talk about all kinds of things on Jimmy X's show, and yet he would put this up on his website and fall right into the hands of the people who seek to silence opposition to what they're doing. He is doing exactly the same thing. He is putty in their hands. He is one of their agents, as far as I'm concerned, whether he realizes it or not, and obviously you and I both think he does. But to put this kind of crap up, to claim that people's speech is hate speech, falls right in line with their goal to silence any opposition to what they're doing, like they've already succeeded in many of the nations in Europe, in Canada, in Australia. They all have hate speech laws, and they lock people up for speaking their mind. These are thought crimes. This is George Orwell's 1984 in action. We are living it. And who would have ever thunk it, Dr. Carly? You and I are similar in age. Who would have ever thought we'd be living in George Orwell's 1984 in our lifetime? Never. Thought it just was a fictional story, a pretty scary one at that, and certainly it is a scary thing, isn't it? When people can silence you for your thoughts and your right as a human being to speak your mind and tell you, no, you can't say that, we're going to put you in jail. How dare you criticize certain groups?
Well, and that's why we have to say no, okay?
Absolutely.
There's a very brave individual. His name is Arthur Topham, T-O-P-H-A-M. His website is radicalpress.com. And he is one of these individuals in Canada who's being charged with hate crimes under Canada's current Section 3192 Criminal Code legislation. And he's developed a beautiful poster. It says, "Closed by B'nai B'rith, truth is a hate crime." And then it's got a guy with some tape over his mouth. And despite the fact that Arthur Topham is being charged with hate crimes, he continues to tell the truth. And I will never stop telling the truth, because I've been researching the problems for years. The name of my show is What's Ailing America. I will never run out of answers to that question. Bioweapon vaccines, heavy metal poisoning, aspartame, fluoride, pesticides, chemtrails, GMO food, the list is endless. So I started looking. Who's behind it? And who is behind it is the Jews. Okay? And as far as I'm concerned, you can talk about the leaves and the branches on the tree of evil till the cows come home. If you're not able to talk about the root of it all, then how are we ever going to stop it? And that's why we're being, silenced, or an attempt is being made to silence us.
Well, Dr. Carly, I was listening to, there was a Catholic priest in the late 1930s who had a radio show every Sunday afternoon, and he figured about 30 million listeners a week tuning in to Father Charles E. Coughlin. And, of course, he was very popular and very controversial because he spoke out about what was going on. And this was one of the broadcasts I was listening to, was one that was done in 1938. And he was talking about what was going on in the world at that time. And he was talking about everyone throughout the history of humanity has spent time at the pillar of persecution. And he wanted to know why the Jews who were claiming they were being persecuted at that time, 1938, pre-World War II, claiming they were being persecuted in Germany, how come they had not spoken out against what the Jews, the Bolshevik led, which was a Jewish-led revolution in Russia, that at that time Father Coughlin had estimated that they had murdered 20 million people between 1918 and 1938 in Russia. They had murdered 20 million people. How come no Jews alive at that time were speaking out against the atrocities being perpetrated by their own people. They were silent on it, Dr. Carley. And that was a stunner. When I was listening to these broadcasts made by this man by the way, they claimed that Father Charles E. Coghlan was an anti-Semite as well. I mean, this is the label they place on anybody who speaks out against what it is they are doing, who criticizes them. You're not allowed to criticize certain groups of people in this world, which is everybody except white Christians. Otherwise, you're a hater, racist, anti-Semite, homophobe, xenophobe, bigot, white supremacist, or Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. Nonsense! No one is above criticism. I don't care who you are. People have a right to speak their mind. They have a right to criticize what it is you are saying, what it is you are doing. But you have a right to speak out. You and I have a right to speak out, and we have a right to state what we know to be facts. We have a right to these statements. Period.
Well, see, I don't deal in beliefs. I only talk about what I have researched and documented. And I want to get back to this new email that Orion has sent out, which you just sent me before the show. I found this extremely hilarious, actually. Their new policy manual, they say about, they're laying out simple guidelines for making sensible choices when it comes to show content and, quote-unquote, extreme fringe issues. The things that we're talking about are not extreme fringe issues. I mean, they're making up terms to call these truths that we have documented. And I encountered this in the beginning when I started talking about vaccines. And here I am again on the fringe. No, I'm not on the fringe. I'm right over the target. And that's why they have a problem. They continue. Most of you by now have seen the story on the front page of the website dealing with the dissemination of hate speech. If you haven't seen it, check it out. For anyone to vocalize outrageous hate slander on one of the most extreme fringe issues there is, just so they can get it off their chest and feel good about themselves at the end of the broadcast, while it negatively impacts the station and other hosts on the network, that will always be perceived as selfish. This is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. Does this make me feel good? Does it get something off my chest? No. I have been involved with these monsters for years, in my 7 years in seven courts trying to save my son from the satanic ritual abuse he has dealt with for over 10 years because I tell the truth about vaccines. Every single judge, prosecutor, social worker, police officer, whatever, they were all Jews. So this is my experience, okay? I started to smell a gefilte fish back in those days. But for Orion Network to state that this is basically selfish on our parts, well, it's negatively impacting the station. Well, I wonder how it's negatively impacting the station. Oh, I know. As far as selling their commercials to Jews, that apparently that's the main way that it's negatively affecting the station. Yet, they state that their position is a moral high ground, and you can't lose when that is your base. So, until the topic that all Jews are bad rhetoric came up, everything was just fine here. Save for the frustrating moments of dead air, which now they're blaming the host for not alerting the network when it happens. How are you going to know if you have dead air when you're on the air? I mean, it's really amazing how this is all coming around, that they're trying to cover their bases. But as Dennis Fecchio was talking about on Oracle, which I was on with him right before this broadcast, he was playing an actual excerpt from one of these ex-Oracle people that called into his show, and he was talking about the Jews who's now on Orion. They are circling their wagons. I don't know if that's just a dog barking or if that's...
Yeah, they're out of... sorry about that, Dr. Carley. That's my... my Tasmanian devil's barking at the mailman. Sorry about that.
I just want to make sure we weren't in a commercial because I don't have the clock. Okay. So, anyways, what do you think about that? I mean, they're trying to blame us for the dead air, that we didn't report the dead air, which, as I said, you can't know that you're even having dead air if you're in the midst of being on air. And also all this garbage about us being on the fringe. As you said, this information goes back to, I think you mentioned it on our show last Monday. Henry Ford was warning people about this.
Absolutely. He was trying to warn people about these things. And, of course, they labeled him as an anti-Semite as well. He had a newspaper that he published, and he was a very successful man. He didn't have an axe to grind, but he was trying to alert people that there's an agenda at play. There's an agenda going on by what he labeled international Jewry at that time. What was it? The Dearborn, I can't remember the name of his newspaper. Dearborn Independent, I believe. But he was trying to warn people about what was going on at that time. And, of course, he was labeled as an anti-Semite, and he brought out the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, and they claimed that they were a forgery. And I'm sure that there was some heavy pressure placed on Henry Ford, because then he was, he was in business, and I'm sure if you control all the ways to move a product around, and you control the money, and you control the whole nine yards, you have a lot of ways to put the screws to somebody to say, listen, either you play ball with us or you're done, or we will plant you or put you out of business. And so Henry Ford, who knows what was done to Henry Ford, that he had published in his newspaper that, he was apologizing, but he never said that what he had published was not real, that it was a forgery like people like to try to claim that the protocols of Learned Elders of Zion were. And at that time, what Henry Ford said was that they fit what was going on at the time. Now, that's almost 100 years ago. Well, I got news for you. They fit what's going on today as well.
Okay, Meg, I'm just getting a message from the station. If you can turn your mic down a little bit, because you're making Skype clip, whatever that means.
Yeah, I don't know. I turned it. They turned it down, and
okay.
It sounds better. So.
Okay, we're going to a break in about a minute, but I just want to read, and I can't stress this strong enough, people. I am so sick of hearing that the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion are a forgery, fraud, whatever the case may be. Check it out for yourself. I'm going to read the last sentence of the 10th protocol. It is indispensable to trouble in all countries the people's relations with their governments so as to utterly exhaust humanity with dissension, hatred, struggle, envy, torture, starvation, by the inoculation of diseases, which is in capital letters, so that the goy see no other issue than to take refuge in our complete sovereignty in money and in all else. And as these austerity measures are circling the globe, the people are starting to starve. The starvation is going to get worse as these usury people are basically charging all countries to print money out of thin air. Where is there any fraud in that? It's all true. Okay, I hear the commercials. We'll be back with Maggie Rodden of the Influence Opinion after these messages. Stay tuned. And we're back with Bless Alien America, and I love that song. Please check it out on YouTube, folks. NZ Trillion, Say No to the Vaccine. It's about 7 minutes long. It's the best song about vaccines I have ever heard. And just playing that song at your holiday gatherings with the parents of little children or perhaps pregnant moms may get them to open their eyes and say, what was that song talking about? It's an amazing thing. Okay. We're back with What's Ailing America. Our answer today is hate speech. And, of course, my guest is Maggie Rodden of the Unsolicited Opinion. I want to read the last sentence of the 10th protocol again. And I encourage all of you, if you go on DeannaSpingola.com, she actually has a voice recording of Lindsay Williams reading the protocol. And sometimes it's easier just to sit back and listen. I know I have so many books to read, it's ridiculous, but You can listen to it live, or not live, but listen to it recorded on SpeakHolaSpeaks.com. You can get the book on the internet, the Learn Protocols of the Elders of Zion. To any Jew who tells you that this is a forgery, fraud, cartoon, whatever, read this book and ask them, how come everything in here is happening now? And the most important sentence, and this blows me away, that in one sentence, they are telling us what they are doing. Now notice that they're talking about what they're doing to humanity. What does that make them? They're not human. They are psychopaths with no conscience. And we'll get more into that in the Talmud in a minute. But this is what it says. It is indispensable to trouble in all countries the people's relations with their governments so as to utterly exhaust humanity. Are you exhausted, people? Are you filling out billions of legal forms to save your house from foreclosure, to get your children out of CPS? Whatever the case may be. Are you exhausted yet? Okay. Dividing and conquering? Are they pitting groups against each other? As a matter of fact, when I did the show with Mankey on Monday, she was talking about how in her neighborhood there are groups of African Americans that are rallying up against white people. And that's because they don't know who the real bad guy is. You see, all these things are being done on purpose. When I lived on Long Island, and they're letting all the illegal immigrants in, if they wanted to close the borders, they would close the borders. They don't want to, because a lot of these Mexicans came up to Long Island. They were living in a township called Farmingdale. Al Roker came there to report on this, problem. With anti-Mexican whatever stuff that was going on, because these illegal immigrants were raping the children in the community, the white children, the women. They were, urinating on the property. They were decreasing the property rights. But I don't even blame it on them, because that's why they were brought there, okay? And it brought up, it was almost like a war that occurred between the owners of the homes in that community and the illegal immigrants that were pouring in, who were being brought in there by the Jews to do exactly that, okay? And I don't know what the status is there at this point, but I know that they accomplished their goal. Okay, hatred. Oh, yeah, hatred. Yeah, they're getting everybody to hate each other. Divide and conquer. This is how it works. Struggle. Yes. If you thought it was ugly on Black Friday when people were stampeding each other so they could buy the first flat screen TV at $100 off, wait till there's no food in the grocery stores, people. What do you think's going to happen then? Envy. Well, envy's probably at the bottom of the list. Torture. Oh, yeah, we know what's going on in Guantanamo. And actually in lots of prisons now, they're using their Guantanamo tactics in many prisons to torture people. And, of course, we know about the police that are using stun guns, tasers, pepper spray. We've seen all the YouTube videos. And that's why they had to fake this little moment in Times Square a couple nights ago. Just happened to be a photographer there to capture a police officer buying a pair of boots for a homeless man. Of course, the homeless man just happened to be sitting in front of a shoe store, and there just happened to be a photographer sitting there. And this was posted on the Facebook page of the New York Police Department. Of course, I'm sure many of you are friending the New York Police Department on Facebook. But now this has gone all over the internet and mainstream media because they're trying to get you to like the cops again. Of course, one police officer buying boots for a homeless man does not make up for all the police knocking down doors with SWAT team tactics, knocking Granny to the floor, killing her dog. The list is endless. Just go on YouTube and type in police brutality. Get ready to spend a few weeks at the computer. But anyway, starvation. Yes, as I said. Once the grocery store shelves are bare and we know it's coming, Frankenstorm Sandy, which of course was designed and caused by the HAARP machines as well as chemtrails, and this was a disaster capitalism strategy, not to mention basically an exercise to see whether the goy would go along with being sent to FEMA camps. Now, if you don't already know, in October of 1997, they actually had an Operation Sandy hurricane over New York. Check it out on the internet, okay? So they've been planning this for years. But yes, eventually starvation will be the goal. And, of course, this will help to decrease the population. One of the things that Maggie has been focusing on for years is Agenda 21 of the New World Order. And in that document, they talk about decreasing the population by at least 85%. Okay, so this is going along with their program. And the next thing mentioned in the lesson, 10th protocol, the inoculation of diseases. This is in capital letters. Now, when I read this, Maggie, this was a moment for me because I actually opened the book up to that page, you know, and that's how I know I've got a lot of guardian angels or some kind of help up yonder, because I don't have time to read most of the books I get, and I just say a little whatever, if you want to call it a prayer, show me what I need to know. I opened up the book to this page. And when I saw inoculation of diseases in capital letters, that was it. Okay? Forget vaccinations. They are not vaccinating you against disease. They are inoculating you with disease. And this extremely old book has it in capital letters. So, like I said, Meg, that one sentence says it all. Any response?
Well, you know, I was thinking about the hate crimes law that was passed into law, and when we were doing the show together on Monday, Dr. Carley, I was reading from what Reverend Ted Pike had written back in October of 2009, because he had been one of the probably maybe the only person who had been fighting out, I'm sure there's a couple others, trying to alert people to this hate crimes law that was being bandied about and then finally passed into law, driven by the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL. And he had told me, because I had him on my show a couple times, actually so did Jim Berryman, a.k.a. Jimmy X, who used to do a show on Oracle. He had told me that he had tried to rally support from all the evangelical groups, and none of them would get on board fighting against this hate crimes law, which designates anybody who is not a white Christian as in a special category. So if you as a white Christian were to commit a crime against someone who falls into the special category, which is anybody who's black, Hispanic, Asian, Native American, Muslim, or Jewish, or gay, you know, or transvestite, or whatever it is you may be, other than a white Christian, if I, as a white Christian, was to commit a crime against them, there would be an extra punishment lobbied onto my sentence, because those people fall into a special category that does not apply to white Christians. So this hate crimes law elevates some groups in this nation above the other, and the other is white Christian. Now, that's a statement of fact. And where that leads to, this ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center-driven agenda, where that leads to is not equal justice. Justice doesn't have a blindfold on. This is injustice. There's no equality in this hate crimes legislation, Dr. Carley. And I'll tell you something, even Eric Holder, and people can Google this up and see him talking about how this law does not apply to white Christians, okay? And this is totally the antithesis of the founding of this nation and what it was based upon and what our Constitution is supposed to be about in terms of equal justice under the law. There's no justice in this. This is injustice. And talking about it, somebody emailed me or Skyped me, Bob Tuscan, who I guess that was the person in the clip you played on with one of the other Oracle hosts, This is not shameful. He writes to me that this is shameful, that we are discussing this. No, this is not shameful. He says he's a human being. Absolutely, he's a human being. But so are the people who are referred to as goyim, which is anybody who's not Jewish. We're not cattle. We're human beings as well. And we have every right to speak out against those who want to label us as cattle.
Well, that's my whole point in mentioning what it says in this last sentence of the 10th protocol. They say that it is indispensable to trouble in all countries the people's relations with their governments so as to utterly exhaust humanity. Therefore, humanity is the other. That is an admission that they are not humans. And I figured this out a long time ago. They have no conscience. And as a matter of fact, that brings us to a book, The Synagogue of Satan. And hang on, Lonnie, I'm going to read your email in a minute because we're getting reports on this being mentioned as well. But you see, we have to wake up people at all levels. That is what must be done. And there's an excellent book, The Synagogue of Satan, written by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. And this is what he says on page 8. The Luciferian cabal, now the Luciferians, this is the one religion you don't hear about, the Luciferians that worship Lucifer, and Satanists are pretty much one and the same. They worship Satan. Okay, the Luciferian cabal of high priests is supported by over 18 million people around the globe who call themselves Jews. Some of these people are fanatical in the support of the synagogue of Satan. They go by the name of Zionists. Others provide the cabal with only token, often nominal support. What is most fascinating is that the scriptures clearly tell us that the evil leaders of this entity are not Jews. They say they are Jews, and the world recognizes them as Jews, even as Israel, but they lie. Listen to what God's word reveals. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and they are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. These wicked, world-powerful power brokers want us to believe they're Jews. They boastfully lay claim to Israel as their heritage, but in reality, they are blasphemous liars. Nowhere in the established Christian church can be found a pastor or evangelist today who has the spiritual wisdom or even the common sense to ask the cardinal question, who is the synagogue of Satan that God warns us about in the book of Revelation? And nary a soul seems to ask the correlating question, who are these wicked imposters of whom God warns us will say they are Jews and are not but do lie? So this goes along with what you're saying about Ted Pike. And you see, we have to wake up people at many levels. Myself, I'm not really hooked into any particular quote-unquote religion. I have problems with all of them because one of the questions I've been asking forever is why is God allowing these terrible things to happen? Why would you create this earth and humanity and then allow it to be taken over by demons who are torturing us and killing us and destroying everything that matters? I can't wrap my head around that. But the people who are Christians, that call themselves Christians, they don't hear any of this stuff from their pastors. You know, we have people like John Hagee. Occasionally I watch him on cable, the cable networks. This man is a bigger warmonger than anybody I've ever seen. Kill those Iranians. Kill the Iranians. Kill the Muslims. Kill the Muslims. I mean, he is obviously a Jew who is pretty much pushing their agenda, and people are donating millions and millions of dollars to this monster. It's really disgusting. But when Christians call me and I ask them about the synagogue of Satan, nobody knows what I'm talking about. How does that work?
Well, because they've never been told. I mean, you know, you and I are both in our late 50s, Dr. Curley. I mean, I never learned any of this stuff. I was raised in a Catholic church. They weren't talking about any of this stuff. I was studying the Bible in my 20s years ago. This is a new... This stuff, my discovery of this stuff is a recent revelation. This isn't something that I've known all my life. I figured out something was amiss right after 9/11. I thought, God, you know, we're supposed to have these terrorists that are abound all over. We got to be, you know, looking in every corner and nook and cranny. And then I'm thinking, well, why isn't the government securing our borders then if there are all these evil people out there? So they claim out to get us. It made no sense. And then when Bush Sr. passed that, or Jr. passed that Patriot Act, I thought, whoa, wait a second, something's going on here. And the more I started to peel away the layers of the onion, the more I realized something's amiss here. What is going on? And it took a lot of time and people cluing me into different things and stuff like that to realize what was going on. Now, you know, there's some people out there. Reverend Ted Pike has been very vociferous in trying to fight against the hate crimes law that passed into existence. I don't know, it was attached to a Defense Department funding bill, I believe, a couple of years ago. Tried to fight against that and try to warn people, look, if you're a preacher and you're preaching that you don't believe that homosexuality is the right thing. Now, I personally have no position on it. As an adult, you can do whatever you want to do. But I don't like this being driven into the heads of little kindergartners in school. But he stated, and it's a very valid point, you're a preacher, you're preaching this message, you disagree with the homosexuality in the Bible that's talked about, and so somebody in your in one of the pews goes out and harms somebody who happens to be gay, it could fall back on the preacher. They could claim, well, you're an accessory to this crime because you preached this message that you happen to believe in. This is why this label of hater falls right in line with what the people who were pushing this hate crimes law, the ones who pushed that and have pushed and succeeded at having passed hate speech legislation in nations around the world. And many of the nations in Europe, Canada, Australia, that you can't criticize certain groups, otherwise they claim you're a hater. No, again, to reiterate, nobody is beyond criticism here, Dr. Carley. And to say that you can't talk about these things, otherwise it's you're a hater or a racist or an anti-Semite, is nonsense. Look at Brother Nathaniel. Look at the Atzman, Gilad Atzman, who wrote the book, The Self, The Wandering Who. Look at Dr. I'm trying to think of his name now. It just escapes my mind. But there are several people who happen to be Jewish who speak out of what's going on, and what do they label them? Self-hating Jews. I mean, you can't win no matter what you do.
Okay, well, I have questions about some of those people, but I just want to bring up a very important point. First of all, what I want to let all of you know, and I know this from years and years in the quote-unquote legal system, they cannot charge you with a hate crime if you have documentation of what you say. And that is why today on the show, I'm going to give you some other little quotes from the Talmud, the Kol Nidre, etc., etc. If you report what they say in their own words, how is this a hate crime? Because one thing I learned in the courts, the way the courts, which are run by the Jews, by the way, that's why judges are immune, even if corrupt, malicious, or incompetent, what they do is they create a false case. And I experienced that in what I went through with what happened to my son, and I'm not going to get into that. You can go to drcarley.com, look underneath the picture of me and Joey, and read some of those documents to see what my son is suffering because I speak the truth. But what they do is they develop a sidebar case. Now, if you're talking about certain things, if you're talking about what the Talmud says, the Kol Nidre says, the things of this nature, the Protocols of Zion, they can't charge you with hate speech because to do so, they would have to allow that onto the record, because that is the case. There's no sidebarring. Okay, so that's what I want people to realize. Talk about their own documents, what they say. And if you do that, there's nothing they can do. Because the last thing they want is for that to be the highlight in the case. Now, as long as Maggie mentioned the homosexuals, I just wanted to bring up one very important point. Because, first of all, I do consults for people all over the world, and when I take a history, I include everything. And I have many clients who are homosexual. Not a single one was not sexually abused, okay? So I am convinced beyond any doubt that in almost all cases, people become homosexual because they are sexually abused. It's kind of a Stockholm Syndrome thing. But the other thing I want to mention that nobody talks about, including the preachers, is that the rectum was not designed to be penetrated by objects, be they, you know, a male organ or, you know, a gerbil or any other thing. And what people don't know is that most of these men eventually end up having to have colostomies because the musculature in their lower GI tract is destroyed. Let's teach children about that. Yes, you can be a homosexual. You can do all of these things. And then you can end up with a colostomy. You can poop into a bag on your stomach. I wonder what that would cause. Okay? So there's other layers of truth here that nobody's talking about, that I talk about. So that's very important. And I'm not sure how long we have before break, but I just want to read a very important email that I received from a listener of ours, and this is what he said, and I actually agree with him. Listen to your final show on Orion with Maggie Rodden last night, and I commend both of you for standing up for true speech, true free speech, and leaving the network. However, some of us, including yourself, have worked extremely hard to get this thing focused, and I will not stand for us legit fighters to lose our focus. Regarding your comments on these people behind the agenda not being real Jews stemming from Edom and Esau, you have to drop that crap right now. It does not make any difference if they are original Jews or not. The people behind our destruction today are the people doing it, and if they want to call themselves Jews, so be it. Now, there is no such thing as an original Jew. I just want to make that, a point, and I have lots of, you know, information from other listeners on the actual, there's the music. I'll get back to it after the messages. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. And we're back for the What's Ailing America, where I answer today's hate speech with my special guest, Maggie Rodden of the UnsolicitedOpinion.com. And before the break, I was reading a letter, an email from one of my, our listeners, actually Maggie, which I agree with. And I want to continue with this because, see, this points out the difficult situation we find ourselves in. Religion has been a problem for a long time. There's all kinds of disinformation and distraction involving many religions and, like you were saying, Maggie, even Ted Pike can't get any quote-unquote Christian preachers to join with him on any function. Most of them are 501c3s. They've all sold out. They don't talk about anything the government doesn't allow them to talk about, in my opinion. There's so many versions of the Bible. Most of them have been corrupted as well. So it makes it almost impossible to even, like, focus on a particular targeted group of individuals to educate them as to where the evil emanates from. But this listener made a lot of good points. And what he said is, regarding your comments on these people behind the agenda not being real Jews stemming from Edom and Esau, you have to drop that crap right now because you're confusing people. Okay. Now, I had referred on the prior show that we did, made a reference to the Jewish Encyclopedia, 1925 edition, volume 5, page 41, Edom is Modern Jewry. Jewish Encyclopedia, 1925 edition, volume 5, page 41, Edom is Modern Jewry. Now, the reason that this is important is because this shows that the Jews themselves are admitting that they are from a bloodline of Satan. That basically, you know, Eve had children with Adam and with the serpent. And the Jews are the result of the serpent seed line. And, you know, Jesus talked about that himself. So that I'm trying to point out to the Christian people. You know, personally, I don't care. I judge them by their actions. You know, I can't see their little tails. They don't wear the mark of the beast on their faces where we can see them. I know who they are because of their actions. They are psychopaths as shown by what they do. But this listener does make a very important point. There is only one distinction with Jews, and that's the ones who are born a Jew by fate of birth, but truly have nothing to do with. They do exist, I know a few like that. They couldn't even point to Israel on a map. However, I'm not so sure that's even worth defending any longer, because when this gets going really fast, and it's very obvious it's the Jews, these non-Jew Jews will flock to the fold for protection. That's, he says, human nature, but I know they're not human. Given this obvious fact, they will quickly become our enemy as well. Even a Jewish child is a problem. I'm sure you recall the pictures from the cast lead operation of a few years ago showing Jewish children signing bombs with phrases like, from Israel with love, to drop on defenseless Palestinians. I remember that. So he says, it's clear the indoctrination starts at birth. This good Jew, bad Jew stuff is crap. And it's taken many too long to figure that out. Seems like many truthers have sorted through their propaganda and gotten more focused of late. Let me make it perfectly clear. I'm not about good Jew, bad Jew. I'm about there are no Jews. They are fakes. They are not Semites. It's a whole fraud. Okay, that's the point I was trying to make. Not that there's good Jews, because if there were good Jews, these good Jews would be standing up and saying, these Jews without a conscience that wrote the Kol Nidre and the Talmud and follow these documents and the protocols, they want to kill off 85% of you. Of course, none of them are doing that. And so I just wanted to make that perfectly clear, is that I am not saying that there are good Jews, bad Jews. I was trying to point it out to Christians that the people that call themselves Jews that are begging you for donations for Israel because now you're, quote-unquote, Judeo-Christians, I mean, the amount of infiltration and subterfuge that these psychopaths have accomplished is beyond comprehension. But I just on YouTube, Gene Simmons, who is one of these members of the group KISS, you know, that satanic rock group that, and Gene Simmons was the one with the serpent-like tongue. Isn't it funny how that works? So he has a reality show called Gene Simmons Family Jewels. And I just happened to be hopping around YouTube one day, and there's actually a YouTube video of him up there where he's telling his son in the reality show, they're looking under the hood of a car that's not working. And Gene Simmons is telling his son, this is a goy job. This is a goy job. In other words, this is way below us Jews. We should be calling, you know, one of those cattle in for this job. So they're allowed to put stuff like that on YouTube, okay? But, you know, if we call them Jews, I don't remember what is the word for Jews that's kind of nasty. I know there used to be one. I'm sure the ADL eradicated it. They can call us goy. But we can't call them what they are. Any comments, Maggie?
Well, I don't know what word that is you're referring to, Dr. Carley, so I can't help you out on that one. But I was thinking about this article that Reverend Ted Pike had written talking about the ADL pushing this hate crimes idea, this hate crimes mindset in the first place. And for people who don't know who Reverend Ted Pike is, truthtellers.org is his website, and he's been battling against this world enslavement of humanity for a very long time. And all of the articles that he writes, and the one that I'm referring to was written on October 11th of 2009, and the title of it is ADL Campaigns to Train Hate Prosecutors. And he gets into what is going on here with the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center, which are both entirely staffed by Jews. He says the ADL is headed by a devoutly religious Orthodox Jew, Abe Foxman. Like its sister Jewish attack group, the Southern Poverty Law Center, ADL has a focused religious objective to revive ancient Jewish persecution of Christians begun 2,000 years ago and recorded in the New Testament. The true intent of ADL's federal and 45 state hate laws is to empower the legal, systematic, and ruthless persecution of Talmudic Judaism's greatest rival, Christianity. To this end, the ADL now calls for a national campaign to train an army of federal and local hate crimes prosecutors. Already, ADL and SPLC, through their Missouri Police MIAS directive, as well as warnings from ADL sycophant Janet Napolitano and her Department of Homeland Security, stereotype Christians and conservatives as unstable bigots and potential terrorist threats. ADL's Office of Global Antisemitism in the U.S. State Department says anyone who believes the New Testament claim that Jewish leaders masterminded the crucifixion is a classic anti-Semite.
Okay, hold on. First of all, so much for separation of church and state. Second of all, I have an article here, Thursday, March 3rd, 2011, Charlotte Observer, page 12-8. Pope exonerates Jews from blame for Jesus' crucifixion. So I guess in some, roundabout way, the Pope would have to be labeled a hater because he believes that he has to exonerate the Jews from Jesus' crucifixion. But I just want to state, okay, while you're talking, I remembered the term I was looking for, kike. Kike. That's what we used to call Jews. You know, you have spics, you have the N-word, you have kikes. We have shiksas. You know, you, me, and Deanna, we're the three super shiksas. You know, there's names for everybody. However, that doesn't mean that what anybody says is not truth. Okay, before we go on, we have a caller on the line. I want to bring the caller on. Are you there, caller?
Yeah, Dr. Carley, and hi, Maggie. This show is like, I'm so frustrated because I'm out in the middle of the desert and your signal keeps coming and going. I'm listening on an Android phone. And I want to tell anybody listening on an Android phone that Maggie and Dr. Carley do not have a lisp. It sounds like you guys have a lisp on the feed app with the Android. So, and this is so exciting. This is like the most exciting. This is like the Super Bowl of talk radio. You guys are like, this is like JFK's fireside chat. Or like when everybody used to gather around the TV and listen to Walter Cronkite. And, you know, he was going to tell us, you know, what was happening and what's going on. This is like the Super Bowl of talk radio right here. And, you know, there's a recording, too, of one time Billy Graham was visiting Richard Nixon in the White House. And he said, what are we going to do about the Jewish problem? And there was a recording. They were talking about the Jewish problem in the White House. And I know that was probably quickly, you know, put out and quelled and, you know, any dissension. But it was pretty interesting hearing, President Billy Graham talking about the Jewish problem. And that's all I wanted to say. And I just wanted to tell everybody, all your listeners, you don't know what you're getting here. This is the Super Bowl of talk radio here. This is the pinnacle. This is the summit. And This is
Thank you very much. Eric is a loyal listener for years of my shows, and I appreciate you calling in. And I encourage the ADL B'nai Griff, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, come on in, bring it on. Let's converse about this. As far as Billy Graham, let's not forget that right before the just held election, he decided that Mormonism was not a cult. So apparently, you know, he's got a little bit of influence on him. And he's a high-level Mason. I have a book about him and his Masonic connection. So, but, you know, whatever. You know, most people start out trying to do the right thing. Then they're either threatened or they sell out or whatever the case may be. But, yes, this information has to get out there. It's very important. And like I said, I challenge anybody that can refute anything we say to bring it on. So well, thank you very much, Eric, for calling in. I appreciate it. Go ahead, Megan.
Well, you know, I was going back to this article that Reverend Ted Pike had written, and he references in here this Missouri police directive, that MIAC report that came out a couple years ago. And in there it talks about the people who are now classified as potential domestic terrorists, Dr. Carley. And, of course, that's returning vets from Iraq and Afghanistan, anybody who speaks out for the First Amendment or anybody who speaks out about the Constitution or the Second Amendment, people who aren't politically correct, Christians. I mean, it's absolutely nonsense. If you happen to be a Christian and you're in opposition to homosexuality, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So what's happening here is people are being labeled as these different things. If you have beliefs or an opinion in opposition to what it is the powers that be want to have disseminated out there. I, you know, you got to look at their own documents to find out what it is they really think. You know, I like Brother Nathaniel very much. Brother Nathaniel was raised as a Jew, and he converted to Orthodox Christianity. And if you look at the different things that he talks about, who would know better than someone who was raised with Judaism and what it is that they talk about? I don't think Brother Nathaniel is lying to us. You know,
well, he's a Jew, so he's of the bloodline, of no conscience. So we'll have to agree to disagree on him. I think he's a provocateur, infiltrator type guy. But regardless, as I said before, we're talking separation of church and state here. What is that broad separation of church and state, except for when it encompasses the Jews? Because, as I mentioned before, I can't remember if I said it on this show or on our show on Monday, the House passed H.R. 4133 in May 2012, binding the U.S. to Israel in their war agenda. It's called the United States-Israel Enhanced Security Cooperation Act of 2012, where the U.S. is going to stand with Israel to protect Israel from the U.N. if the U.N. Security Council resolves to hold Israel accountability to international laws, i.e., to charge them with war crimes in the International Criminal Court. And that's what this whole thing was about. On November 29th, which was the 65th anniversary of Israel becoming a state as per the UN's resolution. So the Palestinians, I guess they have a sense of humor. 65 years later, they, you know, asked for a vote to be held on them becoming a non-member state, which is kind of a joke in itself. I mean, you know, they're not even asking to be equals with Israel and other countries. They just want to be lapdogs. But the reason this is important is because now they can invoke a request to the International Criminal Court to charge Israel with war crimes. And, of course, the United States was vehemently against it, as per H.R. 4133. And so this is very important for people to realize that it doesn't matter how many people Israel kills, how many, you know, crimes against humanity occur in their name. Our country is occupied by Zionist Jews. As a matter of fact, I have a tape of Joe Biden appearing in front of AIPAC on May 9th, 2009. You can find it on C-SPAN, where he's actually introduced and he comes on stage and says that he is a Zionist. He should have been arrested on the spot as a traitor against the United States. What do you mean that you're a Zionist, Vice President? How does that work? But they've all admitted that by signing this law. As a matter of fact, Cynthia McKinney was the only representative who refused to sign the law, and they basically ousted her from Congress. So that's what people have to realize. This is not a joke. Our government is controlled by Israel. Israel calls the shots. We have many YouTube videos of Netanyahu stating that and things of that nature, and that we're basically doing their bidding. If they want us to go to war against Iran, we will go to war against Iran, whatever the case may be. Our tax dollars will be spent to continue the genocide. I don't know what it's going to take to wake up the American people, Maggie, but I'm doing everything I can to make it happen.
Well, you know, I was just trying to think of the man who was the head of the Federal Reserve, and I can't think of his name. I can picture his face, but I can't think of his name. But he was talking about how there is no department in the United States government at all. There is nobody that they answer to. That the Federal Reserve Bank, which is owned by a handful of Jewish bankers and has been, that they don't answer to anyone. And if you follow the money, you're going to find the truth. Now, you and I agree to disagree. I don't think everybody's included in any particular group as being guilty of the sins of other people in the group. I just don't. That's just my opinion and what I believe. However, we've got if you follow the money and you look at the control of money and how that plays out in the world and in these nations, if you control the money, you control it all. You control the government, you control the industry, you control everything because the money is key to it all. And they control the money. A handful of people control the money in the central banks throughout the world, except for a couple of Muslim nations that will soon be succumbing to their rule. But they create the ebb and flow of economies and the rise and fall of nations because it is the money. Money is key.
Of course, and we actually have a YouTube video of Rockefeller saying exactly that, that they that control the money, you know, control everything, and that's obvious, and especially when they're allowed to, you know, print money out of thin air and you know, cause this whole debt crisis for the entire world. That's one of the main reasons they're going after the Muslims, because the Muslims don't do usury. And so they have to take over those Muslim countries to get them, you know, indebted to the IMF, and that's how the whole world will be controlled. Are you talking about Bernanke or...
No, it was Glenn Fryer. It was Greenblatt.
Greenblatt.
Yeah, it was
Greenspan.
Yeah.
Alan Greenspan. Yeah, all Jews, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, we find ourselves in this is a sad state of affairs that the world finds itself in, Dr. Carly, and claiming if you discuss these things, and if you have an opinion that you're not an advocate of what it is they're doing, that somehow that's hate to talk about them, even if you didn't like everybody in a group, it doesn't make any difference. Even if you didn't like them, you're entitled to that opinion. Because that is your opinion, you're entitled to it, regardless. This isn't about who gets to say this. People get to say what they want to say, as far as I'm concerned, Dr. Carly, and political correctness kills. And this is where we're going when people label other people's speech. You either have free speech or you don't have. free speech, period. This isn't, well, some people can be criticized, others can't, or you can criticize them if you only call them this word or you'd only call them that word. You know, it's about time that people stepped up to the plate and start calling things how they see them, and if other people don't like them, that's okay. They don't have to like it. They don't have to like what other people say, but you have the right to say it. It really is as simple as that. Dr. Carley, you and I don't agree on everything, but you have the right to your ideas, and I have the right to mine. And who is anybody else to tell us we don't or throw a label on us? I mean, I said this before. If you're opposed to Barack Obama, if you're white, well, it must be because you're a racist. It couldn't be because Barack Obama is a Marxist and you're not into Marxism. That could never be the reason. It would have to be because you're a racist. And it's absolutely ludicrous. And if anybody bothers to step back and think about it, they say, yeah, that is pretty ludicrous, isn't it? But that's where we're at today.
Well, especially since he signed the National Defense Authorization Act. I mean, any person of color that backs this man, if they know that he did that, I mean, they should be trembling in their boots. But as I said, this is not about opinion, okay? For example, when I talk about vaccines being bioweapons, that is not my opinion. I have so much documentation of this, it encompasses an entire storage depot. Okay, so it's not my opinion. As far as what the Jews have done, it's not my opinion. It's their own documents. Let me read from the tidbits from the Talmud. You can all find this. Just put tidbits from the Talmud in your search engine, and this is actually from a website by Sherry Schreiner. These are some of the things that they say. Non-Jews are not human. Jews may steal from non-Jews. This is Baba Mezia 24A. The most important statements in the Talmud that I like to mention as often as possible for people to check off for themselves. As I said, let B'nai B'rith, B-A-D-L, the Southern Poverty Law Center, come on the show and prove me wrong. Sanhedrin 55B, a Jew may marry a three-year-old girl. Okay, Sanhedrin 54B, a Jew may have sex with a child as long as the child is less than 9 years old. That is pedophilia. Ergo, this is a pedophilia religion. Now, it's coming out with the Catholic Church. Apparently, they are as well. But I don't know how come it's not coming out about the Talmudic Jews, because it's in their own documents. I'm sure the Catholics probably have, you know, something in the bottom of the Vatican vault to say the same thing. But obviously, you know, this is right in the Talmud. Sanhedrin 59a. Murdering goy is like killing a wild animal. I find that somewhat disturbing. Libre David 37, to communicate anything with a goy about our religious relations would be equal to the killing of all Jews. All Jews. Let me repeat that. All Jews. For if the goy knew what we teach about them, they would kill us openly. There you go, Maggie. All Jews. So what is this, you know, with that Bob Tuscan saying, it's not all Jews. No, that's what it says in the Talmud. It's all Jews. Okay? And there's lots of other stuff that is really disgusting. But this is right from their own Talmud. So people need to check that out. And this is why, you know, the courts have been totally corrupted. In fact, they have all kinds of stuff, and their judges are immune, even if malicious or incompetent. One of my favorite quotes is printed in a book, May It Please the Court, the most significant oral arguments made before the Supreme Court since 1955, published by the New Press, 1993. And this is what it says on page 46. This is Chief Justice Rehnquist speaking. If two policemen see a rape and watch it for their amusement, there is no violation of the Constitution. Let me say that again. if two policemen see a rape and watch it for their own amusement, there is no violation of the Constitution. What do you think about that, Maggie?
I think it's absolutely outrageous. It's despicable.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we know why the courts is as they are. Because, see, I realized a long time ago, when a crime is committed and they have the quote-unquote prosecutor bring a charge against the alleged perpetrator. Now, of course, if the perpetrator is a Jew or a high-level Mason, they will never be charged in the first place because the prosecutor is the one that decides who will be charged. But even if they are charged, the victim has no attorney. They are the only one that's not covered because the state includes everybody but the victim. That was a moment for me to figure out. Okay, there's the music. We'll be right back. Any other callers want to chime in? Give us a call. We'll be right back. And we're back with Plus Alien America. We've got to get NT Trillion to do a song saying no to the Jew agenda. This is Dr. Carly. I'm on the line with Maggie Rodden of the Unsolicited Opinion. And I just want to read that last tidbit from the Talmud because, in my opinion, Maggie, this is a confession. These people should be brought in front of the UN's International Criminal Court, Crimes Against Humanity, to communicate anything with a goy about our religious relations would be equal to the killing of all Jews, for if the goy knew what we teach about them, they would kill us openly. So I wish I had a way to communicate with Ahmadinejad or any of these Palestinians, although I'm sure they know this, because actually Ahmadinejad is one of the few people who has actually spoken the truth in public and talked about the Jews as being a plague upon the nations. And if you actually listen to anything this man says, you realize he's the only international leader speaking the truth. Go ahead.
Well, again, Dr. Carly, you know, I know Jewish people. I've known many Jewish people in my lifetime. And I can tell you, the ones I know don't know anything about this. They don't pay any attention to Judaism, Christianity, or any other thing. So, although that says that it's all the Jews in their Talmud, it may have been, but it isn't today because I know people who aren't into any of this. They don't know it. They don't know that from their hole in the ground.
Well, and I know Jews that fit into that same boat as well. However, as our listener pointed out, and I agree with him, that if it comes the day where they take off their masks and that everything be put out to the open, they would quickly raise their hands and say, yes, I'm a Jew. And they would become an enemy immediately.
Well, let me read this end note here from Reverend Ted Pike's truthtellers.org, the article that I started to read a couple excerpts from that he had written in October of 2009, the 11th of October to be exact. And a couple of the end notes to his articles, he says, modern or rabbinic Judaism continues unaltered the teaching of the ancient Pharisees who killed Christ. In my 345-page book, Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma, which you can purchase at his website, I thoroughly document that deep within the teachings of the Pharisees as contained in their Talmud and Kabbalah is the oft-repeated assertion that Christianity and its belief in three gods is idolatry. If the world were put right, Christians as heretics and idolaters should be killed. After the Apostle Paul was converted, he realized that a new, quote, age of grace, unquote, made obsolete any duty to kill, quote, heretics, unquote. But before that, as Saul of Tarsus He, in all good conscience, as an Orthodox Jew, killed and haled into prison as many Christians as possible. For Talmudic Judaism, no new age of grace ended the ancient duty to cleanse the land of idolaters. Instead, Talmudic Kabbalistic literature, the highest religious and ethical guide to Orthodox Jews, teaches that when the Messiah, he's got in parentheses, Antichrist, comes, he and the righteous of Israel will follow the precedent of Joshua and the Hebrews entering Canaan and annihilate all idol worshippers, Christians, from the earth.
Okay, well, what I'll add to that is, what about people that don't believe in vaccines? I mean, to me, this is not just a religious thing. This is anybody that speaks out against any of their agendas. Doesn't matter if it's religious or not. Vaccines have nothing to do with religion, although I will say it's kind of interesting how all the Christian preachers that speak out against abortion have no trouble chopping the dead babies up into pieces and making vaccines out of them. So that's been a problem for me for a very long time. But it's not just a religion thing. They're saying that anyone that's not a Jew is goy. Cattle. That's what they're saying. So it's not just Christians. It's the Palestinians, it's the Muslims, it's everybody. So I think even that's a distraction. But we have a couple callers on the line. Let me just say, I have a few things I wanted to bring up. We might not get to all of it, but I just want to have you all research the Kol Nidre. There's a very excellent article on Rents.com on November 30th, 2003, by J.B. Campbell, who was a guest on my show on These Changing Times radio on 11/11, which is the reason I left that network as well, because they censored me from him. They refused to give me the archive and all kinds of other stuff. So there's a number of stations that are selling out to the Jews. So these people have to be exposed. But the Kol Nidre is basically a Jewish prayer recited on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, that means all vows and promises that they make of any kind will not be kept for the coming year. Will not be kept. So your judges that take an oath to protect the Constitution, your doctors that take an oath to first do no harm, your military people that pretend they're going to protect the Constitution, et cetera, et cetera. On Yom Kippur, they take an oath that they will not keep their oaths. So that's something that you should check out. As I said, Rents.com, the Kol Nidre is the title of the article. November 30th, 2003, by J.B. Campbell. Okay, we have Frank from North Carolina on the line. I've spoke to Frank before on other networks. He knows what's going on. How are you, Frank?
I report you to ADL, SPLC, and also DHS, okay? I was just going to say the truth is hate to those who hate the truth.
And I would also follow up. But go ahead,
I would also follow up with what you said, Dr. Corley. I see this not as just a one single line of attack. This is not just secular Jews, and it's my understanding that most Jews are not really. Orthodox Jews. It's my understanding most Jews are not practicing. They're not Orthodox. They're more or less secular.
That means they don't wear the curls and they do take a bath. Go ahead.
Right. It's not just the Orthodox Jews, though, or the atheist Jews or whatnot. But it's also the other Jews, the ones that don't really get into religion very much or whatnot. But I've checked, and everything you find in American society and in the West in general, particularly in America, I can vouch for that because I've actually looked it up for myself, researched it, invested a lot of time doing this. Everything you find that destroys our society, the culture, everything about it, if you look into the players, the key players that push the agenda, they're overwhelmingly people who come from that 1 or 2% of the population who self-identify, you can find it somewhere in their background, that they are Jewish or were Jewish or were brought up Jewish, typically in Brooklyn, New York, or New York City, or someplace like that. And that's where all these people come from. But not all of them, but most of them, predominantly the movers and drivers behind the destruction of white Western civilization are, in some way or form, self-identified as Jewish.
It's undeniable. The pornification of children, everything that's being put out of Hollywood. I mean, the list is endless. The people that own these companies that are killing us with vaccines. Big Pharma, it's almost all owned by Jews. The politicians are being controlled by Jews in different you know, ways that they're paying them off, et cetera, et cetera. The list is endless. There's no question. It's obvious.
And then you've got all these people that are in the business of religion or in the business, people like Alex Jones, that have sold out for money. They've sold out and turned a blind eye to the truth, and they preach all this anti-Muslim hate. I have nothing for or against the Muslims myself. I just assume they stay over there and we leave them alone and let them do what they want to do. But you've got all these Zionist Christians who are just totally brainwashed. And they are used as the cannon fodder for these Jew World Order agendas, as I call them, Jew World Order. But one other thing I wanted to bring up, though, there's an individual on another network. She's pretty mainstream alternative radio. She gets into the evils of depleted uranium and the vaccines and a lot of that stuff. But she may be in trouble. I've been listening to some of her stuff. She's gotten my attention lately. And I think she's going to be in trouble because she's been touching quite a bit on the subject that we're talking about today on her show, particularly in the past week or two. And I think she's playing with fire, and I wouldn't be surprised if she got kicked off that network any time now.
Well, and that will be self-evident that the network is censoring, and that's what we're trying to wake people up to today. And actually, what you said, it reminds me of what happened to the Japanese around the time of World War II. They were put in internment camps because they were Japanese. And anybody that investigates the whole Pearl Harbor thing realizes that that was another inside job. So it's the same thing that's happening to the Muslims today. We found another boogeyman, and basically we're going to make them out to be the bad guys, when in fact the Jews are behind all of it, and they always have been. And that's what people have to wake up to realize. But I encourage anybody that tells the truth to keep on doing so, because, you know, eventually your censorship will be a self-evident case that's what it is censorship. So I'm so glad that you found out that I'm on this network now, Frank, and you're very... very well studied person. You know what's going on, and I really appreciate your contributions.
Okay, I'll make way for other callers. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything?
Well, I wanted to just throw in, there shouldn't be any topic that is off limits to be discussed. Nothing. Nothing should be off limits to be discussed. It doesn't matter whatever it is you think. Nothing is off limits to be discussed. And so this hate label and this anti-Semite label are only designed to silence people so that we can't have a discussion like we're having a discussion today, Dr. Carley, of what's going on and what we think about what's going on. That's the whole purpose of these word weapons that are used out there, to frighten people into silence. Oh, don't say anything, or they'll label you a hater or a racist or an anti-Semite or a homophobe or a xenophobe or a bigot or a white supremacist or a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. In fact, if you go on, Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman, she had a lady on who was, one of the elected officials, I don't recall her title, from Israel, and she talked about how if anybody, says any criticism of the Jews in Europe, we bring up the Holocaust, or in America we label them as anti-Semites, so that you're not allowed to have the discussion. You can't criticize, otherwise you're going to be labeled. These labels, which of course they know, works very well to shut everybody up.
Right, and of course Amy Goodman is a Jew herself, and when I lived in New York, I tried many times to get on her show, She doesn't talk about anything that's happening here in the United States. She doesn't talk about the 800,000 children that go missing every year due to satanic rituals and sacrifice. She doesn't talk about the child trafficking. She doesn't talk about any of this stuff. So that's her job, distract over there. But that's interesting that she had someone on her show to basically let people know that you can't talk about the Jews. But we're running out of time very quickly. I just wanted to bring up also Salman Rushdie, author of the book Satanic Verses. He was on C-SPAN's BookTV.org on 11/11, and he talked about the fatwa that was put on him by Iran because he wrote this book where he's trying to criticize the Muslim religion and say very evil things to, you know, basically piss them off. Conservative Muslims accused him of blasphemy and mocking their faith, and supposedly Ayatollah Khomeini issued a fatwa against him in 1989. He was protected by police and secret security for years while in Canada, people who expose the Jews are jailed. So this guy was protected by, police and secret security for years. He was never charged with a hate crime. He's still writing books and, you know, going on C-SPAN, et cetera, because he claims that the Muslims are writing satanic verses, when in fact it's the Jews. So I just found that very interesting, you know, how they turned that around as well. And he's made out to be a victim by Ayatollah Khomeini for putting out a fatwa against him. But anybody that, you know, says anything against the Jews is committed a hate crime, and they'll have the Justice Department on their trail. Okay, we're running out of time so quickly. We have another caller on the line. Bill, are you there?
Yes, hello, Dr. Carly, and hello, Maggie. It's a wonderful show, and I completely agree that it is like watching the Super Bowl.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And Maggie, what you spoke about truth, I've said this before, and this is the truth. The language that they speak in heaven is truth. Those who call truth hate are liars, and they are of the synagogue of Satan. Yahshua Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You are either with me or you are against me. And if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The Christians back at the time of Christ knew and know that there's only one God. This thing of coming up with the Trinity was a Jew confab, which was accomplished in the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D., Christians know there's only one God. God the Father, God in the living flesh, God the Spirit. In John chapter 8, verses 44, the word said to the Jews, You are sons of the devil. As far as I'm concerned, that's the end of the story. Right there, the word, God himself, who is incapable of a lie, identified them for who they were, sons of the devil. If you go to
Wait, Bill, in the Jewish Encyclopedia, which you were the one that gave me that.
Yes.
They admit it themselves.
They admit it themselves
that they are the sons of the serpent.
And that's where Reverend Pike was wrong when he said that Paul was a Jew. Paul was not a Jew. Every single apostle was a Benjaminite. And I believe in the letter to Romans, Paul prefaced it with, I, Paul, being of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin is not a Jew. Jew, in the common parlance today, are those who descended from Esau, Edom, as they so identified in their encyclopedia. So that's one thing that I don't like with Reverend Pike, is that he thinks the Old Testament fellows were Jews. The Bible,
besides being prophecy through the prophets, the word of God revealed through the prophets, is also, if you read the very early part of Genesis, the history book of Adam and Eve and all their descendants. Adam and Eve were not Jews.
Okay, and another very important point that this listener, Lonnie, had mentioned is that this is kind of a distraction. I understand what you're talking about because you've taught me a lot, but just your average Joe in the street that doesn't have time to research all these things, the main things I want people to realize, Jesus was not a Jew, okay? That's one of the biggest lies we've been told that's been propagated forever, and that's how we're made to believe that, you know, Christianity / Judaism, it's kind of the same thing, although, you know, the whole crucifixion thing makes me wonder, like, how did they, you know, pass that off as fact? But, you know, if you don't have time to investigate the history that Bill is talking about, at least to realize that you've been hoodwinked on all of these different things. These people are frauds. They are Jews that are not Jews, and our listener Lonnie had a problem with me saying that because he said I was confusing people. Maybe I am confusing people. I'm just trying to get people to start asking questions because it is so confusing. I have been studying this stuff for years, and I still don't get it all.
Well,
I know, I look to see who's committing evil.
I know
the answer. They are the Jews, whatever they call themselves.
Yes.
They are the Jews. They're everywhere. They have infiltrated every part of our society. They are destroying our earth. They're destroying the human race, and they're destroying morality. And that is very serious. Go ahead, Bill.
Very good, Dr. Carlin. That's exactly true. And they do love to muddy the waters. They love to throw all the balls in the air to get everyone distracted and confused. It is just like you said. Judge them by their fruits. Judge them by their deeds. They control the money. They control the politics. They control the religions. They control the universities. They control the medicine. They control the courts. They control everything. And it's always the same suspects.
Exactly. And isn't it amazing how reporting on their crimes becomes a crime in itself?
Well, that's because it's just... Excuse me, Dr. Carlin. Yes.
This is how they operate.
And it's just like Maggie was saying. Our country was founded by Christians. Our country was founded, I'm sorry if I offend anyone, by white people, by white men. One of the very first laws that they passed as a country was limiting the migration to us from where they came from, the posterity. And now... since they've infiltrated us, they've taken us over, they've now labeled us as the problem, us as the terrorists, us as the monsters. So it just shows you right there, by those who are in charge now, that we have been infiltrated and taken over, and what they are looking to do to us is to kick us out of the nest that we built ourselves.
Any comments, Maggie?
Well, it's absolutely correct. I mean, that's the reality. You have to look at who settles the nations, and you can have a dispute of, well, we were, all of the disputes that we've heard ad nauseum. I had a professor of, sociology, Dr. Ricardo Duchesne, a Canadian at the University of New Brunswick, I think it was, and he had written a book in talking about Western civilization, and he talked about the settlers of Canada, and then he talked about the people who were emigrating to Canada, and he was talking about the Han Chinese who had now essentially taken over in British Columbia,
yes.
And how the settlers were no longer welcome in the nation they settled, and everybody could be happy and proud of their accomplishments, everybody except the founding settler people.
If you notice,
white people who settled Canada, and I mean, there wasn't any Canada until they created it, essentially, right? There were just like
yes.
There were different tribes here in this nation who didn't all get along. By the way, for those of you who think they did, they were not getting along, warring with one another, just as it happens for people vying for a piece of land, right?
And the only place that you'll see all this massive immigration into all the countries are where all the white countries are. What they're doing is they're pouring in everything from all the other countries into the white countries so that they can change those white countries, which is what we're experiencing now.
Well, Israel, wait a minute. Israel's not letting immigration into their country.
Oh, God, no.
As a matter of fact, they're wiping out the Palestinians. They're getting rid of all the dirt, as far as I can see, in terms of their eyes.
Yeah,
they're a nationalist nation.
Those Jews who are over there are—they're not Sephardic Jews. They were not the tribes of Edom that killed Christ through the Pharisees, scribes, and the elders. Those are Jews who converted to Judaism in the 8th century A.D. They converted in the Khazar Empire, southern Russia. So all those people who call themselves Jews from central and southern Europe who have gone into Israel and say that that's their homeland, they never were there to begin with. It's another one of their little tricks.
Okay, we're out of time. I hear the music. Thank you all both for your contributions. We'll be back next week, people, with Sailing America. Spread the word.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks, Dr. Carly.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Say no to the vaccine. I can take it himself.